everyone. Welcome to Trust the Trail. We are your outdoor guides, Ariane Petrucci.
And Scott Jans.
This is episode 70, Choosing the Right Trail Map.
Wow, number 70. That's crazy.
Exciting.
I know, very excited. A little housekeeping before we get started. For those who have not heard the last podcast, we have changed our podcast feed. So some of the subscriptions were not updated, but if you want the new feed, you can go to trustthetrailpodcast.com and subscribe to that feed there. That's where the feed is. That's trustthetrailpodcast.com. But all of our feeds have been updated on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, CastBox, Overcast, Podbean, Spotify, and now Radio Public. So you can catch all of the new episodes on any of those app platforms. We also have come up with kind of a cool idea from our listeners that always want updated gear lists. We get a lot of emails and a lot of questions about gear. So we've now put that gear list on our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/trusttheTrail. But we have a bigger idea that includes our listeners to go on an exclusive backpacking trip with us, a guided trip in 2019. And all of that information is available on our Patreon page, patreon.com/trusttheTrail. Please stop by and take a look at that page. We would love your support. So thanks for listening.
On this episode, we share which trail map is best for you and how it differs depending on where it is you are going. Maps offer you a different way to read the terrain in a way you can't visually see from your point of view. We will define the different boundaries and which government entity governs them, along with a tip on which map you should always have in your car, and then how to begin using maps to your advantage. As always, if you want to come hang with us, just go to facebook.com/groups/trusttheTrail podcast and join in our podcast family and become part of our community.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun on that Facebook group. Absolutely. You know, I just thought, you know, the other thing that maps help you with is not to get lost.
Well, if you know how to read them, right. If you don't know how to read them, right. It's not at all useful.
It's always really good not to get lost.
I will admit that I have been on, you know, I've been on multiple trips in which I've had a map in my backpack, but I haven't used the map, and thus I've gotten lost. So I've had to pull that map out and try and figure out where I'm at. And that's part of the fun. I don't enjoy electronics. Electronics stress me out. Today at work, I was on Excel, and the document was giving me all this configuring problems, and I was so frustrated at an electronic. And so for me, I prefer the old school mentality when I go out into the backcountry. To me, it's a safer bet. I like my post-it notes. I like my lists. I like my handwritten, you know, cards and communication, and I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. I love old school. And so maps for me are a way for me to connect to that, like, that hand-eye coordination that I really enjoy, but it takes out the entire technology-dependent existence that I just don't function well in.
Okay, dude, we had a map in the Grand Canyon and still couldn't find a 50-mile hole in the ground, for God's sake.
We're
going to talk about that definitely in this podcast, about why that map is really super important to have when you're trying to find a trailhead.
Yeah.
So I guess the preference is podcasts, and to kind of get it in order, is there's a lot of different organizations, management, Bureau of Land Management, the government that manages all these different parts of where you and I go backpacking at, whether it's a state park, national park, wilderness area, recreation area. Wilderness area, I think I said that. It's all managed by different entities. And so I think the first thing that we should do is kind of go over what the boundaries are and what different what are your different categories of each particular manager that you're going to be hiking or backpacking in. So let's talk about the first one. So by law, first of all, boundary descriptions of wilderness areas have to be available to the public. National park boundaries, national forest boundaries, state park boundaries, all of those, by law, they have to be available to the public. So every single one of the areas that we're going to discuss, they all have maps, every single one of them, because National Public Lands is for the people, national parks for the people, which I can never understand why they close down when the government shuts down. But but all of these are public, and you can download every single one of them. So let's talk about the big one first, and that is national forests. National forests are managed by the United States Forest Service. That's the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, the United States Forest Department. And it's a division of the United States Department of Agriculture, like I just said. So they manage our national forests. Now, why did I put that one first? Well, because that's usually the bigger land entity that surrounds everything else. So the national forest is first. The second one is your national park system and your national recreation area. They're really almost the same thing now. So your national parks, Grand Canyon, Grand Tetons, Yellowstone. So those are your national parks. Your national recreation areas would be Big South Fork that we talked about today on our Facebook community page. So those are managed by the National Park Service. That is part of the federal government. It's all kind of part of the federal government, but specifically, they are part of the National Park Service, is the branch of a federal government that manages all the national parks, any national monuments, and any other conservation or historical landmarks or properties in the United States. The other one you have is designated wilderness areas, which is kind of managed in a different way. They are managed by four different land bureaus. Ooh, wow, I'm shocked. So, They are protected.
We try to keep the wilderness as complicated as possible. God.
A lot of stories. So they're managed by four different entities, and we'll talk a little bit about that also. But they're managed by the National Park Service. They're managed by the U.S. National Forest Service, which also manage the National Forest. We just talked about that. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Bureau of Land Management. So you'd say the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, what's that? That's your Department of Natural Resources, DNR. So they're the guys that stock your lakes, your streams. They're the ones that do a lot of patrol in your lakes. You'll see the DNR rangers out there. They work for the Department of Natural Resources. So you've got like four different entities in a wilderness area, which is weird because wilderness areas are protected. Not even, you know, none of them get actually maintained, but the National Park Service only has one agency, and they're always laying off those people. But so it's kind of weird. Then you have your fourth one is state parks. State parks are exactly like national parks, but they're ran by the state. So depending on what state you're in, depending on if your state has a budget surplus, is going to be your state parks are going to be well maintained and kept. So you got four. You've got national forest, national park and recreation area, designated wilderness areas, and state parks. And those are the government entities that manage. So why do we bring that up? Why is it important to bring that up? Because that is huge on which map to choose.
Yeah. And I know that can get very, very overwhelming. I mean, if you look at, you know, it depends on which parts you'll be passing through, and it's and how long you'll be passing through those areas, which is all part of your planning and preparing and understanding, you know, where you're going, you may need to bring more than one map. You may need to bring more than two maps.
And that's what this podcast is all about, folks.
I mean, look at, okay, so within a state park, you may be passing through a wilderness area. And there's so many configurations of what you'll be passing through and when. A lot of maps only show the boundaries in which they are managing. And so they do not go into detail into other areas, depending on what map you choose. And so it's really important to understand the duration of which you'll be hiking through it. To understand, do I need this map? Do I just stay on trail? You know, how long am I going to be passing through it? And so on and so forth. I mean, prime example, AT. It passes through, within a 10-mile radius, I think it passes through three separate entities.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you're just following white-painted blazes on a very well-established and maintained trail. So that's not the best, you know, I would say, example. But you don't even realize that you're doing it.
No, and that's the thing. So, and that's what we want to kind of stress on this podcast specifically, is that it's important to know what area you are hiking through or backpacking through, because the rules change as you cross the boundaries. So the wilderness area, designated wilderness area, has different rules than your state park. Your state park has different rules than your national park. Your national park has different rules than your national forest. And so it's really super important to know what boundaries, what rules change as you're hiking through. The other thing why it's so important is that each managed area, each managed boundary has different sets of, trails within that area. For example, let's take your national forest area. Now, we'll talk about the Chattahoochee National Forest because that's in northern Georgia. The Chattahoochee National Forest governs a lot of land. I mean, a lot of land. So what's in there? Well, you've got one of the largest wilderness areas in the southeast. That's the Cahuilla Wilderness we just talked about in our last podcast. You also have the Blood Mountain Wilderness. So you have two wilderness areas in a national forest area. Then you have two state parks. You've got Amicalola State Park. You've got Vogel State Park. Then you've got, you know, a national park that butts up into that, which is the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. So there's all your four, you know, designated areas, and you haven't even backpacked 600 miles yet if you're on a long distance hike. So and all of them have different rules. All of them have different regulations, and all of them have different maps. And so depending on what you're going to do in each designated area, it's always good to do your research on, okay, hey, I'm going to be hiking through a wilderness area. Do I need a wilderness map for this? I'm going to be hiking through a national park. I've got my national park map here. Do I need any other map? And that's what we're going to talk about too on this podcast.
Are you guys completely confused yet?
Oh, believe me, it's confusing sometimes, especially when you start making phone calls and none of them take responsibility for managing the park or that area.
Right. No, and this, you know, this podcast is not intended to confuse you by any means, but more to educate you that there is not ever just one map for one area. And it's again, it's all part of your planning ahead and preparing. You know, where are you going? How long are you going to be there? And we're not talking about weight in this at all, but maps are those one thing that are so important for you to take with you. Not only can maps be a tremendous amount of fun, or perhaps that's just me because I'm such a geek, I enjoy reading the land, but they're also extremely useful because it's very easy to get turned around. And when you learn how to read the maps effectively, they can really, they can really push you more quickly in the right direction, and give you a lot more ease in mind that you have control out in the wilderness versus the wilderness controlling you.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess the one example I can think of is when I went backpacking in Arizona. I went in the Sycamore Wilderness Canyon. We've talked about that in our podcast before. And it was managed by four different management bureaus. It was a wilderness area. It was a national forest. And it was a recreation area. So when I was trying to plan and prepare, I was calling each ranger station that was designated for that particular area. So I think it was the Red Rock something. It was part of Sedona. It was the Coconino National Forest. And it was another Bureau of Land Management. And so I would call, say, hey, guys, I'm going to be hiking in the Sycamore Wilderness Canyon. And of course, the first thing they said was, like, you're not going by yourself, are you?
Like, not to scare you.
I was like, well, yes, yes, I am. Why?
Should I not be?
Why? And so, which was funny, because I ended up getting lost in there. But
and this is why they asked.
And so, but as I was calling each ranger station, and there's always a ranger station for each area you're going to be hiking through. It may not be close to the trail that you're going to be hiking, but there is a ranger station that is going to be open that you need to be aware of in case you have an emergency. And each ranger station is proportioned by that designated area, whether it's a national park, wilderness area. It's usually going to be your national forests. Your national forests are going to have the ranger stations. But I was calling around. I was like, hey, you know, have you been on this trail? And what do you know, like, well, how does this work? And he's like, yeah, we don't. I've not been on that trail forever. You know, maybe you should call this one. I'm like, well, what do you mean you haven't been on the trail? What do you guys do? You know, like, who's doing, is there any trail maintenance down there? He's like, yeah, no, there's no trail maintenance.
Sadly, you know.
He goes, it gets really confusing down there, so we don't go. I'm like, what?
It's a lot of office work.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the different types of maps, because that's truly what this podcast is here to develop in you, this understanding of the different types of maps. So you have your general paper overview maps and your topography maps, which are your main and most resourceful use of effectively backpacking with a map. And that is mostly what you're going to be using. Within that, you have your national park maps, which is your general, everyone's seen them, the National Geographic maps. They're the big, the bulky, the expensive maps. Very good. They're waterproof. Although I will say, more maps are becoming water resilient in general. And we're going to offer you a tip at the end of this in regards to how to waterproof your own map. Within that, you also have your wilderness maps, your state maps, your national forest maps. You also have the option of digital maps, so GPS units, which is a huge, huge portion of what people are using in today's world to be able to navigate. Now, we are not discussing that on this particular podcast, one, because I try not to touch it, but because we have so much to cover, that may be a future podcast down the road. And then you have your interactive online maps also becoming a huge entity in learning how to learn your navigation prior to going out there. We have a tip for you at the end of this podcast that is going to be very resourceful, which is part of an online map that you need to know. But each of these areas, you know, have one thing in common in which you may or may not have ever thought about bringing with you. And this is what you must carry in your car at all times, non-negotiable, and it is a National Forest roadmap. And this is huge. This has saved us more often than not.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is that National Forest roads are roads that have been around for 50, 60, even 70 years, and they're old logging roads, and or old desert roads, or they're old utility roads, or they're old railroad tracks that have been lifted and now they're roads. So to get around there, and they all connect, and some of them don't connect, and some of them go dead end somewhere. It's really good to know, because it's really super easy to get lost trying to get to a trailhead.
Yeah.
And we found out the hard way that the USGS has roadmaps in Arizona and all the forest road maps. And we were at REI and we're looking at all the maps and we're like, what's this map? And he was like, oh, that's the forest road map. And we're like, a forest road map? And so we looked at it, and that would have saved us an hour and a half trying to find the Bob Hall trailhead in the Grand Canyon.
I think it was far more than an hour and a half. It might have been like 3.5 hours. It could have been. Realistically.
But, you know, it's one thing to get to the trailhead, but it's the other thing to know. So if you can find, usually it's the U.S. geological maps that are the best. That's going to be your wilderness maps, your topography maps, your forest road maps. These are the best maps to get in order to find your way around in a national forest.
I mean, we took one wrong turn in the Grand Canyon. There was a miscommunication between what is right and which is left, which is, you know, pretty basic. But it turned us around into a point in which we had no idea where we were at. And it took an immense amount of backtracking.
We were all over the Cali National Forest.
All over the place.
I mean, my God. I mean,
we saw parts of the Grand Canyon that very few have probably seen.
No, and it was crazy because, I mean, we were lost. I mean,
legit, you know, lost. Like, we had no idea where we're at, no way to track where we were at.
And the thing is the deeper you get into the forest, and especially wilderness areas, I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you're looking for a trail sign or a forest road number, or you're out of luck, because
you know,
the locals are usually taking that to burn firewood with it. And so they, you know, I mean, there are just, when you, the deeper you get in there, those signs have long gone.
The more twisted you get. Yeah. And I mean, you would think an enormous hole in the ground, the biggest hole in the United States that everyone talks about, that everybody is like, it's on their bucket list to see. You think it would be easy to locate, but turns out it's not as easy as one would think.
No.
And a forest road map would have come in handy. We ultimately figured it out. It did take quite a long time and a lot of, I mean, it was that classic, like, rubbing your head, you know, I have no idea where we're at. And there's not a single, besides a few cows here and there, to communicate
with. And a few people living off the land. I think we ran across a few people, like, nomadic living, like in a camper or something like that. But other than that, it was pretty alone back there.
But I will tell you, it also, not only does it help you in a bind, but it offers you exit paths. It offers you the ability to navigate comfortably with, like, exploration, you know, taking a little bit of, like, you know, dust to the wind, let's just explore today. And it really comfortably allows you to expand your boundaries even more. But anyway, the point is that these maps, a ton of different types. So let's talk about your just general paper overview map, because that is the most used and most resourced map out there, and it comes in many different forms that I just mentioned. But it generally lays out your route visually. It offers you the ability to take notation of, like, your alternate routes that you could take, whether that be you have to have a mid-trip discussion, or you have to bail, whether it's injury or whatever the case may be. But it offers you a pinpoint from where you're at to where you need to get to. And it's just a generalized identifying your route. And it's pretty basic. It's pretty, everybody uses them. And that is your basic, map to be able to use. But then you have, topography maps. And this is where I get really excited about, because
topography maps are probably the most underrated, least brought map when going hiking or going out in the backcountry. Some maps have topography on it. Some of your National Geographic maps have it, but they are much different than real topography maps. So if you can get a wilderness map, or again, the USGS maps are the best for topography. Sometimes your National Geographic maps, they put some lines in there, but they're not all that accurate. And so topography maps are usually where someone gets called by search and rescue.
Your topography map is going to be your single most important navigation resource that you could ever hope to bring with you. Understanding it is the exception to that. If you don't know how to read a topography map, you're not going to be able to navigate yourself in any situation. I guess you could learn by trial and fire, which is what Scott and I have done in a course that we took, where we were dropped off in a particular location in unfamiliar territory, given a topography of the land and having to determine exactly pinpointed where we are. So, learning to resource it is going to be your best. I mean, it is going to be your partner in crime.
And the reason why that's so important, you guys, is because that's where people get in trouble. Like, if you look at your map, especially if you have, and people do it, we see this all the time, they'll take a picture of the trail map and they'll put it on their phone. And they're like, oh, well, we know where that is. And the map legend will say, well, we only have a mile to go. Okay, great. But that mile could be 6,000 feet up and 6,000 feet down. And, although it's only a mile or a mile and a half, it may be 75 degrees out when you start and 55 degrees up on the top of the mountain. By the time you get down, you've been beaten a little bit. We had a friend last year
in the
end of May, beginning of June, in the Smoky Mountain National Park, who didn't look at the topography and hit the trail and made the decision, well, yeah, I'd like to go to the highest point of the Smokies, was wearing a cotton t-shirt. By the time he got up there,
shorts and sandals,
cotton t-shirt, he got up to the top and it was snowing. That's a true story. It was snowing outside. And, he came down. He said it was the longest hike of his life, and it was a 2-mile hike. So topography is really super important when you're planning and preparing your trip and looking at, okay, I'm going to go here. I'm supposed to hike 7 miles today. But where does the land shift? Where does it go down? Where does it go up? Are the bars on the topography map very close together? Are they spread apart? And if you can kind of learn, and reading the topography maps are pretty easy. And a lot of fun once you really practice at it. It really will save your life. I mean, it really will. Honest to God.
So if you're unfamiliar with topography maps, pretty much it's like just a very detailed, and very accurate, I should say, dimensional representation of your natural, land, from, sea level directly up to the highest peak. It allows you to read your three-dimensional terrain on a flat surface. And that is really cool, if you ask me. So it uses contours. They're like imaginary lines, pretty much, and they join together to equal, like, your elevation gain and loss. And so a pretty basic understanding of it is, so you're to read your contour lines, you can see when they start grouping together in a very closer format. So when your basic lines, and they're all like grooved and, you know, contoured, they're never, you know, it's very dimensional. The closer together they are, the steeper the grade is. The more spread out it is, the more gradual the grade is. And usually there's a key at the bottom, and it's in your contour interval determines the distance between the lines. So usually it's anywhere from like 40 to 80 feet as a generalized, you know, topography map in which you're reading. And you can read those lines saying, okay, well, each line indicates perhaps like 80 feet that I have to climb. And so when you start doing that and looking at the math and looking at the visual stimulation on the map, you're able, you know, to more closely read. You know, also on topography maps, something is, you know, the darker the color on the map, you know, the more dense the forest is.
Yeah.
And so it's a very quick visualization of you being able to read your land on a very flat surface and making the, you know, ability to see what 1 mile is versus 10 miles, because on a map, everything looks so close.
Well, and a lot of times too, like I remember Brian DeLay and his son, we were all backpacking, and it was late, and we're looking for a flat space. We wanted to kind of go up higher a little bit, and we had seen on the topography map that there was a really nice flat spot up on this ridge. There was no trail. There was nothing going up there. We just bushwhacked up the ridge, and oh my God, did we have a beautiful campsite. And that's one of the things, you know, you kind of benefit from, you know, being able to read a topography
right,
map.
Right.
Like, hey, this area is flat. And I'm
let's
not in a real
there.
Flat area right now.
Right.
So let's it's, you know, a very short hike. Let's climb up there and see if it's a doable campsite.
Well, not only that, but on the flip end, if you're, you know, involved in inclement weather or any factors thereof, you can look at your topography map. You know, if you are aware of how to read it, you can determine exactly where you are and be able to eliminate yourself from inclement weather or, you know, whatever the case may be. You have the ability to understand how close water sources are to you. And a water source on a map, oh, hey, that looks really cool. It's just right down there. Well, down there may be severely steep and you don't have the energy to get back up. So, you know, being able to read the land to your advantage, whether or not it's just for fun, it's play, it's just a general understanding of getting a little bit more in tune to the nature that you're going out there for, or it's to eliminate yourselves from, you know, a situation in which you wish you weren't in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's probably, like I said, that's probably the most elite, it's the most underrated map that people bring, and very underestimated. That's why it's, you know, the National Geographic maps are great, but if you're going to be in a wilderness area or in a national forest area, get those USGS maps and get the topography maps that go along with it. They're usually one and the same, and they are going to have a clear-cut topography on there, and you'll be able to see clear as day where the water is, where the streams are, where the gorges are, where the plateaus are, how hard the hike is, you know, your ups and downs. They're going to be extremely, extremely easy to look at on that map.
I mean, once you learn it, it's a lot of fun to, you know, place yourself and try and figure it all out. It's like an exciting puzzle piece. I don't know. I'm a sucker for that old school kind of map mentality.
Yeah, and the other thing too, and here's a great tip for people that are looking at topography. Use Google Earth.
Tip of the day.
If you have Google Earth, The Google Earth is a great way to see ahead of the trail and see your topography, whether it's going to be a climb, whether you're going to go down in a gorge, you know, how far the water supply is maybe from where you're going to be. A Google Earth is just an awesome, awesome way to get that kind of like point of view over the ridge, kind of see into the future of your hike when you're, and this is all part of your plan and prepare, obviously, but
well, we've used Google Earth on kayaking trips. Oh, yeah, absolutely. For the Grand Canyon, as well as kayaking trips, and it allows you such a different perspective of, you know, when does it open up? When does it not open up? When does it close in? You know, and on kayaking trips specifically, that has been extremely, extremely helpful, as well as the Grand Canyon. We still couldn't find the hole in the ground. No, I know. Despite using Google Earth. No, but a couple of best practices. You know, when you are learning maps for the first time, it's really important not to go out there blindly and expect to know exactly where you are. It does take practice. You do have to teach yourself how to read the terrain. A lot of the terrain on topography maps, which is so much fun to learn how to use them, but it can be misread very easily. And that's something that Scott and I have learned in like navigation classes that we've taken, is that it's easy to misread it because you want to know where you are. And so you make up that I think I'm here, I'm nestled here. So my advice to you guys is go into an area in which you really know very, very well. You're very comfortable with, you've gone multiple times. Grab a topography map of the area. You're already comfortable with the area. You already know exactly, you know, what to expect further down the trail. Take that, play with it, learn it, use it, you know, challenge yourself with it. And that'll help you in a real life situation in which you actually have to use it in an unfamiliar territory. Trust me, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and if you're close, see if the map is accurate. You know, this whole big thing about maps, I can tell you that not all maps are up to date. So, you know, you know, maps are, I will say this, after 20 years of backpacking and guiding people, I will say this: maps are a form of reference. They are not completely written in stone.
And that's a good point. I think your like National Geographic maps, the one that are going to benefit a little bit more payment to these localized areas, they're going to be updating them more frequently. Look at that updated mark at the bottom. See when the last time.
Look at the print date.
The USGS, you know, the United States Geological Survey, they are notorious for outdated information.
Yeah. So we'll say this: the National Forest maps and the Wilderness maps, the USGS maps, the Wilderness maps, the National Forest maps. Those are the biggest crux if you want the wilderness experience. Those maps haven't been updated in 20 years, and they're not going to be updated. Do you know why? It's because wilderness areas are protected. There's going to be two things that are happening in the wilderness area. One, the trail is just going to overgrow itself. It's going to be gone. You know, the trail sign is going to fall on the ground. It's going to decay into the ground. That trail is long gone. Or the trail is still there. That's the only thing. They're not blazing any new trails. You know, you're not going to, they may, if you have a really good volunteer group that manages a wilderness area, they may take the time to reroute a trail. But most of the time, if there's significant blowdown, they're not rerouting that trail anytime soon. You're going to be climbing over every single debris field you can to get on that trail. I've been in wilderness areas before where I've literally thrown the wilderness map away because it was so old and so it was just bad. I mean, we hiked a trail. There's like this brand new bridge on the trail. We're like, this isn't even on the map. So, they're a point of reference. Okay, they're a point of reference. So you're still going to have your due diligence. You're still going to have to plan and prepare. Brian and I, we talked about Big South Fork in our Facebook group today our Trust the Trail podcast community Facebook group, and someone had mentioned Big South Fork. Brian and I had a National Geographic map, and went. We were looking for a kind of a remote trailhead access road. We drove into a subdivision.
Oops.
They had sold the land. I mean, like, we drove in someone's, like, driveway. Hey, we're here. Can we park your car here and walk in your backyard?
You know, were they willing?
The trail is really close. You know, hey, you have coffee made? No, but it's like, you know, things change. You know, the printed versions of the map are a point of reference. Look at the print date. Do your homework. Look at, you know, there are some trails you don't have to worry about. You know, they're going to do all the work for you. The Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, they're going to, your state parks, they're going to do all the work for you. But in wilderness area and national forest areas, look at the USGS map. Look at the national forest map. They probably haven't changed, and the trails probably haven't changed. And then look at the print date, and then call the ranger before you go and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this trail. Is there something I should know? Oh, yeah, that's overgrown. We don't even manage that anymore. Okay, well.
There you have
put
it.
Put an X on that mark on the trail. So,
or learn, you know, how to bushwhack.
Yeah, right. But for the most part, you know, just do your due diligence. Maps are a point of reference. They are not the cure for all. And I think if we have to say anything, please do not take a photograph on your phone of the map thinking you have a map with you on your phone, because if your battery dies on your phone, you don't have a trail map anymore.
Well, it also offers you no scale perspective, and that's a huge thing. We have not gone into scale into this. We don't plan to. There's enormous amount of information out there regarding scale, but it doesn't offer you the detail. What is 1 mile? What is 10 miles? What is elevation? And how long of a duration does that exist for? So, you know, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to get excited about. I'm such a nerd when it comes to this.
And just know, sometimes you may be bringing two maps with you. One map is not always the cure for all. You know, do your research. Make sure you know where you're going. And there's nothing wrong with taking, you know, a couple, two, three maps with you, so you know for sure that what area you're walking into or what boundary area has changed, or you're going to have the correct map for, and you're going to have that specific ranger station that is in that, that manages that particular area of which you're backpacking in.
And a basic tip that we promise you is to a fun little way to waterproof your maps is if you are going to download them from the internet versus offering them, you know, purchased in store, you can Xerox those. Xerox. You can laminate them and hook them to the back of your pack. We do it for kayaking trips. We do it for water-related sports. We do it for times in which we are expecting a significant amount of moisture.
Yeah, you can save a lot of money by printing online maps for that designated area and then going to your local office supplies place, laminate it, punch a hole in it, put a carabiner in it, and hook it to the back of your pack, and sometimes you can save a lot of money doing it. So you guys, thank you so much for listening. We hope we gave you a little guidance on the different kind of maps and the designated areas and the boundaries and how you should choose the right map for where you're going. Thank you so much. If you like the podcast, please give it a review on iTunes. It really helps kind of spread our podcast out there. In the meantime, we're available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, CastBox, all your podcast apps for your iOS or your Android phone. Super appreciate it. And again, we're really hoping that you guys can support the podcast by going to patreon.com/trustthetrail. We would love to see you guys there so we can do some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to go backpacking with you guys.
Absolutely.
So in the meantime,
trust the trail.
We'll see you guys later.
Bye.